Good morning. May it please the court, Charles Cosby on behalf of Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones was convicted in the Circuit Court of Lunenburg County of the felony eluding.
You care to reserve any time for rebuttal, sir?
3 minutes, Judge.
3 minutes, yes, sir.
And then Judge Osborne, who's a Circuit Court judge, went to the scene of the incident. And here we have basically a young man, the defendant, going off-road through the woods. And the question here is whether the method of the operation of the vehicle was such as to interfere with or endanger the operation of a law enforcement vehicle or endanger a person. So he goes off-road, he goes through this path, but 204 feet went through, and the officer following him went up this road, off-road, went through two saplings close to his vehicle. The officer could see and hear the saplings hit his vehicle. There was 3-foot broom straw on a power line right of way that he went through. He testified to his items in his vehicle bouncing up and down. He was using his gas to brake and to maneuver over the objects. Top speed was around 25 miles per hour. There was testimony rocks could be found all over the property that the defendant lived on. This was his home area. And the officer said he had concerns for his safety or the safety of his vehicle. The assistant attorney general and I think both agree that this may be a case of first impression dealing with topography. Whether basically topography, what role it plays in this type of case. I did cite Wolford versus the Commonwealth from this court in 2006, where there was a high speed chase on a road slick surface late at night, and the defendant there lost control, crossed both lanes of traffic, and crashed into a cliff. The assistant attorney general cites Coleman versus the Commonwealth from this court in 2008, and he talks about, in citing that case, refers to the language that conduct that raises the specter of endangerment is the evil contemplated and prescribed by the statute.
Counsel, you say that this is a case of first impression as a topography case, but isn't it really a case of sufficiency of the evidence weighing all of the factors involved, speed or as well?
I think you have to look at the totality of the circumstances. I agree with the court on that.
But so if many of the factors to be considered happen to be topography, why does that change the essence of the issue?
Well, I think the question, the reason I think it changes the essence is that courts talk about conduct. In other words, if you turn off a road and you're being pursued by the police and it's to your misfortune that you happen to turn down a road that is under construction, a gravel truck has gone down the road and gravel is all over the road, or it's not been properly maintained and there are basically potholes in the road, or you then is going to be subject to a felony just by the mere chance you turn down the wrong road or the wrong type of prepared road. And we know unfortunately through the United States, a lot of the roads aren't fortunately maintained as well as we would like. So here, what role does that play? I mean, does it have to be foreseeability that when you went up this road, and I didn't mention that, when you went up the off-road, you have to foresee that you're endangering someone? Or is the court indicated that, or are you going to look at the totality of the circumstances, or is the essence of the statute meant to be the conduct of the driver as opposed to the terrain? And how do you wed those two together? Because normally we see in the as you know, in the looting cases, egregious driving. You see somebody weaving in and out of traffic, going through a stop sign, a red light, going at excessive rates of speed. I think the unusual thing in this case, we don't really have arguably excessive rates of speed. We don't have somebody driving in a such a manner as to arguably be evasive type maneuvering, other than the fact he's going off road up a road that he's familiar with. So it's my argument to the court that it has to be the conduct of the driver as opposed to the terrain. Otherwise, we put ourselves in the Commonwealth in the position that on any type of road you just happen to turn on, you're all of a sudden going to be convicted of a felony as opposed to a misdemeanor just by the happenstance that you turned down the wrong road.
Well, on the issue of conduct, isn't it a factor to be considered that his conduct included his choice to go where he went? And how would you phrase an opinion of this court to do what you ask us to do?
I was trying to grasp with that, Your Honor, or grasp at it, and I know the Attorney General's office raised the 512 issue about when I mentioned significant endangerment. Because we know that the definition of reckless driving is to endanger life, limb, or property, but what does that endangerment mean, even in the definition of reckless driving? And how significant of a danger does it have to be? Because if your farmers go every day up these rural roads, and they...
Yes, we do.
Right, so... And as you know, you're not always endangering your... maybe your off-road vehicle or your pickup truck. So when you're looking at the terrain, what weight do we have to say it's significant danger because of the terrain itself?
Would we be adding words to the statute to put significant in there? So how would you phrase an opinion that would
right.
do what you ask?
Right. The reason is in the context of not changing the statute, but looking at the terrain, whether it has to be significant danger from the terrain. That's the only way I could think about getting at it.
If there are rocks, stumps, barbed wire, logs, ditches, wouldn't that be significant even under your definition?
Well,
you can't see, by the way.
Right, you can see. Arguably, that I would agree with the court that that could be one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, though, is whether if you didn't structure your opinion that way, is whether to say that what difference does terrain make at all if you're going up a road and just happen. Let's forget this one. You turn right on what the officer's pursuing you, and all of a sudden you're on a bad road. Are you all of a sudden committing a felony if you go 20 or 30 feet down the road and hit a couple of potholes? So I think it's more conduct than it is in the mode of operation of the vehicle and not the terrain that matters.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. John Blanton for the Commonwealth. Excuse me. If I may just... In Coleman, this court said it's the specter of endangerment. And whether or not you accidentally make a turn and go down the wrong way on a one way, you've raised the specter of endangerment by your behavior. You may not have intended to go down a one way street, but clearly you've now endangered everybody on that street, yourself and the officers who were following you. Here, this gentleman knowingly turned off the road into an area. He said it at trial. Everybody thinks there's a ditch there, but there isn't. Well, he asked the judge to go and view the area, and the judge came back and said, there's a significant ditch there. So he knew there was a ditch there. He knew there were rocks, large rocks. His mother testified that there were large rocks. He clearly endangered the officer's vehicle and potentially endangered the officer's life by turning down this road. If the officer had misjudged, he could have hit one of the trees, he could have hit a rock, he could, at the very least, knocked his oil pan out, and perhaps worse, if he hit his car wrong.
The appellant argues that the Commonwealth agrees that this is a case of first impression, that the sole issue here is how we will factor topography into the reckless driving statute. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that. This, in terms of where he drove his vehicle, how he raised the specter of endangerment by going off-road, that's, as far as I can tell, this is the first case that's addressed going off-road. But topography doesn't really discuss it. Topography is the lay of the land. Topography doesn't show rotted post, barbed wire, small ditches. They may be small, but they can still be significant. That's not going to show up on a topographical map, Your Honor. And so I don't think this is about topography, but it's about whether, by going off-road and doing so, whether you can put somebody's vehicle and or life in danger. And I think that's the question that's really before the court with this case. And I think, given the facts here, it is clearly sufficient.
It's still a question of totality of the circumstances.
You are correct. Yes, ma'am.
And it just happens that in this case, a number of those factors are factors of driving through a wooded area, et cetera. Correct?
Correct. It struck me as something of a first impression, and if you disagree, I will bow to you on that.
Well, counsel, I guess one thing we're trying to hone in on is the notion that this is a situation where we look at the full record and we look at everything in the record to make a determination under the reckless driving statute, and the off-road piece is simply one factor. So we're trying to figure out why you think that's a case of first impression.
And given the tenor of this argument,
I wish I could. No longer feel it.
Okay.
I looked at it one way when I was writing this, and I see your point of view now. So that's what it is.
But you do agree it's a totality of the circumstances.
Absolutely. And under the totality of these circumstances, the ditch, the rocks, the broom straw, you can't see where you're going practically. He clearly was in danger. He was endangering the officer.
But it is the topography as opposed to the speed or the maneuvering that creates the impact.
I was trying to find it before I came up here, but I believe there was a portion of the record, and I think it's on page 96 of the appendix. I believe it's the Commonwealth's attorney states that the game warden said he would not have driven that fast under the circumstances.
Yes, the trooper testified that he was driving 25 miles an hour under these conditions. And so speed would be a factor among totality, correct?
Correct. And this is an expert on this, and he would not drive that fast under those circumstances, not knowing what's in front of him. He would go much slower. But because he was in pursuit, he went much faster. I don't know how much faster, but that's not in the record. But he did go faster than he would have liked to have. So I think there's no question, under the totality of the circumstances, the evidence was more than sufficient. I think you've addressed the argument about the question of whether it had to be a significant harm. If you would like, I can address that. Or if there are no further questions, we would ask that you affirm the conviction. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cosby.
I would address, Your Honor, I think I made my points.
Very well, that's fine. We'll come down and greet counsel and thereafter take up the case of Donald.